Hi, I'm Ella Shawn, reluctant romance writer and host of Enchanted Beast Podcast. Welcome to the Enchanted Forest. In today's episode, Wednesday Wisdom, the choice is up to you. Ella shares her wisdom on how she decided to start making choices with her best interest in mind. Now, here's your host. Enchanted Wednesday, my enchanted beast. How are you? Okay, I'm getting right into it. Today's Wednesday Wisdom is about choices. Choices and consequences. Choices and responsibility. It is all about choices. And the beginning of my approach is simple. The choice is up to you. Whatever choice you make, however you come to the decision, it doesn't really matter. It is up to you. So why do so many women have such a hard time making a decision? Why are we struggling to make choices in our lives that ultimately will affect us? I think the reason I kind of wanted to talk about this, and the reason it's been like on my mind, is because I've just been sitting back and thinking about all the choices that I've made and how all those choices have led me to be where I am right now. And in some ways, I want to feel, you know, very alchemist-like and say that everything happens as it should and everything moves me towards exactly where I'm supposed to be. And on most days, I can say that and honestly feel great about decisions that I've made. But it's something about fall, autumn rolling in, that puts me in an extremely introspective and pensive mood. And so I've started thinking about these choices. Not every little choice, right? Not whether or not I want to get a haircut or should I buy new shoes or was it okay for me to spend that $1.49 on a candy bar? Not those choices. I'm talking about huge choices. Choices that definitely would have had different outcomes had I decided differently, obviously, right? But I don't want to question my choices. I guess I'm thinking about why I made the choices that I did. What was it that was happening in my life? Where was I inside myself when I decided that I would choose A over B? Had I really thought about the consequences? Was I 100% sure I was ready to take responsibility for the choices? Like, where was my head? And so that's what led me to Wednesday Wisdom's topic of choices and how it really is up to us. We're only ever one choice away from changing our lives completely. And that could be a choice that changes our lives for the better, or it could be a choice that changes our lives for the worse. But it's only ever one choice away. And that's insane. Because think about how many decisions you make every day. Especially us women, God, we make decisions in the millions every day. It seems like it. If you are a spouse and you have a family and you're the home momager, think about the decisions that you have to make. If you're the family momager and you work outside the home and you belong to organizations, just think about all the decisions that you have to make. I was talking to my daughter who just turned 18, and she is, she's chosen the colleges that she's going to apply to. She's pulled all the scholarships that she feels confident in applying for. She knows what she wants to major in. She's really put together. But she's still very unsure about making decisions. And so she's constantly saying, "Hey, mother, do you think I need to do this? Do you think I should do that?" And it's about huge things and minute things because she's just not sure about her decision-making skills. And ever since, she was a little girl, I've always said, whatever you do, make sure you've thought about the consequences. And then make sure that you are ready to take responsibility for your actions, right? And I've always told to her and her two sisters, there's no right or wrong. You simply have to make a decision and you have to weigh the consequences and you have to be ready to take responsibility. So if you do something, if you choose to do something, make sure you've thought about what's going to happen as a result. And then ask yourself, am I willing to take responsibility for the results of my choices? And if you can say yes, I have thought about the consequences and I'm willing to take responsibility for them, then you have made the right decision for you. Because there is no ubiquitous right and there's no ubiquitous wrong. They're simply choices, and every choice you make will lead to a consequence. And every consequence you need to be ready to take responsibility for. And I gave them, my girls, I gave them the right to choose pretty much as soon as they were completely potty trained. Because the idea is if you are able to decide to hold your urine and your bowels until we are in a place where you can go appropriately, then you are able to make a choice for yourself. And a lot of people looked at me quite strangely when I would stop and ask a 3-year-old, "Well, tell me what you want to do. What do you choose?" And I've done that for all of my children, but the older they get, the more they start to doubt their choices. When they were young, they'd make a choice in a split second and they would say, "This is what I choose. I've thought about it. I'm ready." No questions. I can't help but think that when we're young, before we start acquiescing to society's norms and standards and their values and their morals, when we are just self-centered little girls and we only answer to ourselves and what's within us, right? I think that during that time, our beast and I and us are extremely close, like we're linked. extremely close. And so there's no doubt there. There's no self-doubt or stumbling over anything, because we are able to listen to, we're able to hear, we're able to communicate, and we are trusting that our beast is going to guide us and make sure we have what we need. It's that assuredness of childhood. It's a wonderful thing to watch. They're so confident and they're proud. They know what they want. They go after it. They get it. And the beauty of little children is that oftentimes the adults around them don't require them to conform to what we want. We oftentimes capitulate and conform to what they want. We conform to their needs, to their schedule, to their likes, right? Consider when you had small children, what you were looking at on TV. Did your TV knowledge go from Grey's Anatomy to Dora the Explorer? Were you stuck in the Hannah Montana phase? And did you know all the songs that they sang on Victorious? And it is for no other reason than that little girl child of yours was so sure of herself. She knew what she wanted. She made those decisions. She accepted the consequences. She dealt with it. And she kept moving. But somewhere, somehow, probably around the time when we start going to formal education, right? Kindergarten. Then norms are set. And society says this is the standard. And our little girls, just like us, we start to tune out our beast and listen to what everyone else is telling us is the right thing to do. But everybody's lives are just one choice away from being changed forever. So now my daughter is shy about making all of these choices. She makes the big choices, no problems. But the little choices, she's like, oh, I don't know. I don't know what to do. And so as I'm preparing to send my child off to college in the 2019-2020 school year, I am requiring her to think about her choices. Think about why she's having trouble making a decision, and then ask herself, what is it about your own mind, your own heart that you don't trust, right? So as we continue going through our podcast, and I'm thinking, I can't be the only woman out here trying to help her daughters learn to trust their choice-making skills and to really think about metacognitively why we choose what we choose. So that's kind of why I wanted to talk a little bit about making choices. And not just making them, but owning them. For the first part of my life, I made choices for me. Once I started dating seriously, my then boyfriend, now he's my husband, I slowly started making choices based on what would be best for us. And then as we got married, and started living together and all that, I started making choices on what was best for him. And then once we started having children, I started making choices on what was best for them. Okay? My husband and my children. Every choice I made for myself was based on what was best for my husband and my children. Retrospectively speaking, that was the biggest lesson I've ever had to learn. Retrospectively speaking, that was the biggest lesson that life taught me. It took years, decades, really. Well, a decade and a half for me to learn this lesson. And I'm going to tell you, when the universe is teaching, she is very petty. And not only is she petty when she's teaching, she's exact in her lessons and how she delivers them. You'll notice I'm not calling any of this a mistake. I don't necessarily believe in mistakes. I believe that we have opportunities to learn, we have lessons. And until we master a set of skills or whatever lesson it is we're supposed to be learning, until we master it, we just keep repeating it. You can't go past first grade if you can't read, right? And so I kept failing to make choices for my life based on what was best for me. And so because I kept failing to do that, I continued to make choices for my life based on what was best for my husband and then for my children. I kept having to repeat the same lesson. So, if you are this woman who finds yourself in the same situations over and over and over again, it doesn't matter that you're making different choices every time. If you're making your choices based on what's best for the people you love, or based on what's best for your employer, or based on what's best for your friends, right? If you are making decisions that affect your life, but you're not making them based on what's best for you, then you will continuously be in the same situation. It may come in a different package. It might walk and talk differently. It might smell and look different, but it will be the same situation. It will be the exact same thing over and over, because until you learn the lesson, the universe will continue to give you an opportunity to learn it. So I'll give an example, okay? I have always been great at money management. I have always been great at money management because I grew up poor and I didn't want that for my life, right? So once I got out on my own and I was in my own apartment and I had a job and I was putting myself through undergrad, I knew exactly how much money I had coming in, right? Because I had a little job and I knew I was going to get in $895 every month. That's what I brought in. That's what I earned. My rent was $425 a month. I knew I needed to save at least $85 a month. And I knew that I had to pay for my light bill, and I needed food, and I had to pay my car insurance. Well, if I had to do all of that, right, then I also wanted money in case I needed to go shopping, or if I wanted to go hang out with my friends or whatever. So I decided I can't have cable, and I won't be eating a lot of extravagant foods, and I'm only going to turn the lights on when it's really, really dark, because I need to save my money, right? Money, right? So I knew I could balance my checkbook. I could manage my money. I knew how to stretch a dollar, right? I could make a dollar out of 15 cents. I knew where my skills lie, right? But after I got married, I somehow bought into this idea that the man is supposed to handle the money. Even though my husband had never been out on his own, he had never had to manage money for a household because he had never lived on his own before, I still somehow bought into this idea that the man of the house was supposed to manage the money. Not just the money he bought in, but all the money in the house. And I made that choice to give my husband the responsibility to manage our income. And he wasn't good at it. He was good at going and paying stuff and all that. But as far as budgeting and managing, no, that was not his thing. And regardless of how many times we got late notices or the lights were off because it hadn't been paid, like seriously, I just continued to make the choice to let my husband manage the money. Because here's my initial thinking, right? My initial thinking was, well, we're married now, and he's the head of the household. And that means that he's supposed to make sure we have everything we need. And I thought it was going to be better for him if I gave him the responsibility of managing our household money, our finances. That's the choice I made. And that's the reason I made the choice initially, was because I bought into the idea that he's head of household and the man handles the money and takes care of everything like that, insurances, finances, the whole shebang. I bought into it, and I just let it happen, right? That was my choice. And I made that choice based on what I thought was going to be best for him as man of the house. And every time he showed me that I'd made a poor decision, that this he wasn't, you know, this wasn't his thing. Every time he showed me that, I continued to push it on him. I continued to choose to put our finances in his hand. When I knew I could manage our money
So much better. I knew I could be more proactive in our financial planning. I knew all of this. Hell, I worked as a banker for 4 years, right? But I continued to make the choice. And so when things got really bad, I chose to give him the responsibility of our finances because honestly, I just didn't want to be responsible for how jacked up our finances were. And so if I continue to let my husband manage the money, then I could say, it's not my fault things are jacked up like this because you're responsible for the finances. I go to work every day, my check's deposited, and you're responsible for managing. If you're not managing it correctly, then there's nothing I can do about that. It absolved me from taking responsibility for the jacked up situation of our finances. At least in my way of thinking, that's what it did. And then later on down the road, after, we'd lost a house and gone into bankruptcy, I was like, okay, I can no longer I can no longer choose to turn a blind eye or put all of the responsibility for our financial craziness on my husband. Because the initial choice that I made when we got married, that initial choice set us up for financial ruin. It took me a minute to be able to admit that to myself. And now that I'm thinking about it, I don't think I've ever admitted it to my husband. So I'm going to have that talk with him when we're going over the budget this week, at our weekly budget meeting. I'm going to tell him that because it took me such a long time to take full responsibility for my initial choice. Now, my initial choice, again, was one that was based on what I thought would be better for my husband as head of our household, our family. And it was done with the best intentions, but we all know that old adage, right? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. And I really did have great intentions by laying the responsibility of our financial household at my husband's feet. I intended to let him know how much I trust him to take care of us. And as he continuously showed me I'm not really good at this, I realized I should have stepped in, but I didn't. I didn't because by the time, I realized, not realized, by the time it got to we were sent, sitting in bankruptcy court at the age of 30, I was like, holy hell. I don't want to take the blame for any of this. This is not my fault. You're the one who is responsible for it. This is not my fault. It's not on me. And so I'm able to honestly say that that initial choice and every subsequent choice about our finances, about leaving them in the hands of my husband, about making him solely responsible for our financial management, every choice, but it was that initial choice that set us up on the road to financial ruin. And when I sit and think about it, I ask myself the question, so Ella, why? Why are you so afraid of making a choice and standing by it? Why are you afraid to be the responsible one for a major life-changing choice? And that was it. I just, if it fell apart, I didn't want to be responsible for it. If the choice I made led to something horrible happening, I didn't want to be the one responsible for it. Because it's a lot of pressure, right? So if I say I'm acting in the best interest of my husband or in the best interest of my children, or in the best interest of my employer, my friends, of my organization, if I say that I'm acting in the best interest of any and everyone outside of myself, then it's a selfless choice. It's a choice that I intend to help other people. And I feel like, if it all goes to Hades in a handbasket with gasoline draws on, then at least I was doing it for the right reason. And that was my MO with decision making. Once I became, half of a whole, right? My choice making, my decision making became, well, what's in the best interest of the other person? And now I am at a space in my life where I'm once again in constant and open communication with my beast. And she has shown me how very stupid that is. How very stupid I've been. Because here's the reality. You're on a plane, first thing they're telling you, here are your exits, this is what you do, yada, yada, yada. However, if we should go down, everybody who's been on a plane knows this. Make sure you put your oxygen mask on first. Take care of yourself first. Do what's in your best interest first. Even before you help your 6-month-old baby, do what's best for you first. Because if you're not getting oxygen, you're not thinking clearly. If you're not thinking clearly, you're not going to be able to help your 6-month-old baby. Do what's in your best interest first. That isn't selfish. That's selfful. And I've spoken about it, but I didn't consider that as a function of making choices, making decisions. And now I'm relearning how to choose what's best for me. Every choice I make, I have to say me first. I have to ask myself, if I choose this, how is it going to benefit me? If I choose this, are the consequences going to be worth it to me? Am I going to be able to take responsibility? Will I be willing to take responsibility if I choose whatever it is? I no longer ask, is this going to work out for my husband? Is this going to be okay for my kids? I wonder how my mom and my brothers are going to feel about this. No, me first. Every choice I make with my best interest in mind. Because here's the kicker. If I'm choosing, and I am doing so with my best interest in mind, then I am not going to make a choice that is going to negatively affect me as a person. And if the choices I make are designed to positively affect me, then they will ultimately positively affect those I care about, right? And it sounds a bit like Reaganomics, trickle-down economics, right? Take care of the rich, and then all of their goodness will trickle down the economic line, which any crackhead knows doesn't work. But think about this. And this is how I've had to come to think about it. As a woman, I truly am the nucleus of my family. I realize that. It took me a minute. It took me a minute because When it was just my husband and I, our marriage centered on his needs and his wants. And when we became parents, everything centered on the needs and wants of our children. And it's not until recently, within the last 5 or 6 years, that I've come to understand I am the nucleus of this family. Everything centers on me. And I'm not being conceited, because if you are a woman and you have a family, you are the nucleus of that family. Everything centers on you. You'll find that when you're doing well, you're feeling great. When things are going well for you as an individual woman, your household moves with you in that greatness. But if things suck for you, if things are going badly for you, then things are going badly for your family and your household. I remember when I was teaching, I used to run a program for at-risk kids. And so, of course, you know me, research, research, research. I had to do a butt ton of research to develop the program and make sure I was meeting the needs of my selected students. And whenever they're determining whether or not a kid is at risk, they don't even check to see what the father's level of education is. They don't care if dad has a PhD. You know whose education matters? The mom's. What's the highest level of education of the mother? The higher the level of education of the mother, the less at risk the children are for academic failure. We are the nucleus of our families. Therefore, every choice that we make needs to be in our best interest. Because when we are at our best, we're able to spread that out to our families. We are the center. Everything revolves around us, within our families, within our communities. Contrary to popular belief, women are the nuclei of society. And if things are not revolving around us, if decisions are not made with our best interest in mind, if we are not making decisions with our best interest in mind, then we end up with Donald Trump in the White House and Brett Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court. Think about it. When a society does not acknowledge the rightful place of women and our choices, then we end up with chaos and craziness. So, since we can't necessarily, right, create order and sanity at society at whole, then we must start somewhere. And that somewhere is with choices. It's within our families. It's with you making choices that are in your best interest, financially, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically. Everything you decide, make sure it is done with your best interest in mind, because you are the nucleus, you are the center. If we are willing to listen to our beast, if we're brave enough to unleash her and allow her to walk with us and even lead in our greatest moments, we will only consider what is best for us, because what is best for us What is best for our beast is what's best for our family. And if we are able to bring order and sanity to our families by making choices with ourselves in mind, imagine what we're able to do in a society. Right? If women all over the world decide, if women make this one choice, right? If the only choice we make is everything I do will be done with my best interest in mind, if that's the only choice we make and we stick to it, imagine what the world would be like. I'm only making decisions with my best interest in mind. I'm issuing a challenge, women. I'm issuing a challenge, my enchanted beast. Start making choices with your best interest in mind only. See what happens. Stop trying to be everything in everybody's life. Stop trying to make everybody happy. Stop trying to make choices for the best of everyone. No, start making choices with your best interest in mind and see what happens. A little bit of Enchanted Wednesday wisdom from your girl, Ella. If somebody would have told me that 1,000 years ago, I don't even know where I'd be today. But I don't lament. I don't regret. I'm not sorry. Because every lesson I've learned has led me to this place. And I don't mind sharing my knowledge, my wisdom, with other enchanted beasts. Okay. Join me on Friday. You know what it is. Freaky Friday. I don't even know what I'm going to be talking about, but it will be hot. I feel like, I don't know. It's October. It's fall. It's trick-or-treat season. I don't know what Freaky Friday is going to be about, but trust me when I say it's going to be a good one. I feel it. I feel it in my beast. Okay. Make sure you subscribe, share the wisdom, and by all means, stay enchanted. Thanks for coming to hang out in the Enchanted Forest with me. 2 more days, and it's the weekend. Bye.
This has been Ella Sean with Enchanted Beast Podcast. Thank you for joining, and remember to stay enchanted.